Hello, coming to you from sunny Ontario, Canada. I'm lying, there's snow on the ground. My name is Cheryl Sutherland, and I'm one of your gorgeous co-hosts for the one and only, I was gonna say cabaret, the one and only event that you know, like love tuning into, Navigating Mindfulness, where myself and my gorgeous co-host, Lisa McHale, come through and give you the 411, the LMNOP, the hit you with the he, when we're talking about building our businesses, but also being mindful in incorporating personal growth and making it super easy, super fun. And then just seeing how many ways can we leverage our brain. I want to say mind hacks, but like leverage ourselves so that we can be in the proper place to receive the things that we want, that we can ask for what we want, and then just be the successful, delicious, amazing people that we are. So with that, I'm so excited to be here. Why? Well, because there's been some amazing things that have happened, and they have really come down to the fact of trusting ourselves, listening to ourselves. And that is because we have been actively working on building our intuition, that intuition muscle that's always been there with us. But I think over time, people go through the process of like not trusting ourselves, letting other people's opinions be more important. And then therefore coming back to ourselves can feel a little bit tricky. So let's talk about how to build intuitive consciousness, how to learn how to listen to ourselves and make decisions from that place and let things be great. So first thing I would love to start off with is asking, Lisa, tell me, like, you're such a successful, I've always seen you as a very successful business person. So I'm like, teach me, I'm young Padawan. But tell me about your tell me about your experience and your relationship with your intuition.
It's been a long journey. I think, you know, I want to say thank you first and foremost, though, for, you know, thinking that I'm so super successful in all things that
I'm
going to
project good things on.
Yeah, I gracefully receive that. Because, you know, there are definitely ups and downs, and intuition, that knowingness or the gut instinct of things has changed over the years, right? Like, when you're growing up and trauma happens, you begin to second guess your gut instinct on things. You're looking for, I would be looking for data sets to convince me that it was possible, right? Or that I'm doing the right thing. Somebody who doesn't want to fail or make mistakes, you're going to want to, like, again, something logical to back you up with it. Intuition is the exact opposite of it, right? And so most recently I've been doing and playing around with muscle testing, asking myself yes or no. So this.
So fun. Oh, you've been doing it with your finger? I don't know how to do that with my finger.
So, and then there's over the summer, the children were playing like forward and backward. You know, other people will do the arm testing. So that's physical reinforcement of an inner feeling. When you have to make decisions quickly, my intuition now is something that I'm, again, playing with. So my relationship has greatly improved, is what I will say. How about you?
I love the fact that you brought this up, because a couple of things came to mind. Is I know for myself that there was a long period of time where I did not trust myself, and therefore I discounted my intuition. Just like, even when it came to driving, like, am I supposed to turn left or right? Like, what feels good? And then I'm always going the wrong way. And then I'm just like, maybe I'm just directly challenged. Like, stop making this about extra things, right? It's not that you're wrong and this is right. It's just that, like, this is what you thought, and that's okay. Even when it came to, especially when it came to building my business, I continually looked outside of myself for reassurance. And instead of like figuring out how to listen to myself and have those conversations with myself in regards to what was right and what was wrong. I even remember growing up, I think some of the first times when you're starting to make your own way, make your own decisions, is definitely in relationships. And I also looked at one of my closest friends, who's kind of like an older sister to me, for guidance. And so, like, there's times where, you know, where men would treat me a certain way, and she'd be all like, why are you being so mean to them? And I'm just all like, did you not hear exactly how he treated me? And then being like, am I the one that's that's wrong in this situation, continually going over things, because I tended to feel a level of over responsibility in general in regards to things. And therefore I would even gaslight myself sometimes. So in that unlearning process of like, hey, no, it's okay for you to ask for what you want. Hey, no, it's okay that like, this is actually the truth and stand by it, you know, just really allowing myself to build up that intuition and move forward with it. So it's been really cool to see it actually start working as well. And so another thing that I would love to learn more about or like have conversations is like, how do you build your intuition? How do you reconnect? How do you plug back in? Like I always say, your intuition is your inner GPS. I mean, like we were born with that, and the quicker we tune into, I guess, the radio station, the frequency of that, and then being able to recognize it and hear it and move forward with it, it makes it a lot easier. So how, like, what does your intuition sound like? How do you like start paying attention to it more? How is it for you tuning back into that and allowing it to grow?
Great questions. I want to acknowledge you for a few things. I love how you're so able to label things. Reassurance. That is the word I was looking for, like logical data sets. That's my tech brain speaking. This is why her and I are so good to one another, because she's able to say things very quickly. So looking for outside reassurance is the exact opposite of intuition. One thing you also said was like right or wrong. And I think that right or wrong is that reassurance as opposed to intuition-based beliefs is it is what it is, right? And it's happening for you as opposed to it's happening to you. So I really loved also that you said, you know, gaslighting yourself. I'm like, that's pretty cool that is that happens, or that you know that it happens, yeah, so that like you can stop it from happening.
Yeah, I guess I'm like, it really wasn't cool, but now it is.
Awareness, right? We're always talking awareness, right? Yeah. So, and these are great labels. So thank you for being such a great labeler of words, and hence why she's the speaker. So to your question about building intuition and, you know, tweaking your inner GPS and what it sounds like and what are you paying attention to? I feel that it's different for everyone, right? So if you are hard of hearing, it might come from feeling, because your natural hearing is maybe impacted. If you can't see very well, it might be like if you wear glasses, or it might be then you would, again, maybe feel it or hear something. So I think it's different for everyone. And I think to build it and to become aware of it, number one answer, hands down, meditation. Right? And so so I can meditate for up to a couple of hours and just be in that ether kind of space and really just hear what is my next best step. That has taken years to develop. Years. So and you can start with literally like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? So what do you think about meditation, and is the answer the same for you? Like, how do you, have you built your intuition?
I love that. So, one thing that came to me as you were speaking is, one of my clients, Lily Motz, she like does a lot of work with angels and intuition, right? And she talks about people's clairvoyance, or it's called the five clairs. Like, how do you connect? How do you hear things? And there's, of course, clairaudience, where you hear it. There's clairsentience. There's clairvoyance. And there's multiple ones based on like the five senses, and it just being amplified, and everybody does have a different way. So just knowing what way you tend to hear things or receive things is super, super important. And then I think also basically understanding that it might be different for you, and even like wrapping in human design and stuff like that in there, like it might be different for you. For me, it's definitely always been feeling. And I usually feel it like in my chest and in my stomach. And it's just like a very clear, like, like it feels like things are slowing down or feels like a no, or like it feels like a stop. While if I'm like really excited for something, it just feels like clear. It feels like things are flowing, like energy is good. And just paying attention to that. I often let my brain override things because I feel a need to have to do something. And then that is a clear indication of lack and that like I need to just stop, do something else, maybe have a drink of water, maybe go for a shower, maybe go and not like, you know, have a dance, whatever. However, like being very clear about that. I think journaling and meditation is key because I think with the meditation, you are actually more cognizant of your feelings and your emotions, which we don't really notice so much because we're in the world, we're like bombarded by all these different senses. And then by coming back and like calming and coming back to ourselves and we're able to hear ourselves better. Journaling is amazing because I feel like it has an active component that people really like. They like the action. And so if you're writing out like, okay, I have a problem with this. What is this about? And then like your brain is instantly like, will give you an answer or like you'll retort with something. And then in writing it down, you may have not caught that specific tiger by the tail if you just thought about it versus writing it out. So taking the time to explore your feelings in writing is super, super huge. And then allow yourself to go to the depths of it. Understanding what does this feeling mean? Like really creating that legend of this means to stop, this means to go, this means that it's undecided, or this means that it's unsure. And I love the way that you even said like, that it's not a right or wrong. It's just like everything is working out for you and it just might be a not yet. There was something that happened actually a couple days ago, which I'm like, I shared with you earlier about me buying a plane ticket. And hopefully by the time that this airs, I'm already gone and come back because it's supposed to be a surprise. However, the way that it unfolded was that I wanted to buy a plane ticket to go somewhere. And I was like, no, it's not the right time. Didn't make sense logically. Normally I would have been like, girl, what are you doing? And then just go ahead and buy the ticket. And then Google Flight Tracker did not tell me that the price changed. It like tripled in price. I was like, what? Initially panicked, went to go and buy the flight anyway from somewhere else at a lower price, which probably according to some of the Googlings that I've seen, that place was a scam. So I'm like, okay, Cheryl, just calm down. And then the way that things unfolded, I was actually able to get the price, not only from the airport that I wanted, but for paying like less than I would have originally paid for. Like, so the flight was like $223. I'm probably going to end up paying like, I don't know, like $50, $60, something along those lines. And that's when I felt that level of like, yeah, this is it. So how do we actually start building that? And I think it's really by trusting and just listening. It's some of it is trial and error because we do have the opportunity to live through this human experience and feel things out for ourselves. But like just being willing to be open to listening to ourselves, I think is one of the biggest keys. Lisa, what do you think?
So I love that you already know what the physiological feelings are, the slowing down of the peace that you might feel on a decision for you to go forward. And I love how you really created a win by listening to yourself. So the events that led up to that, yes, you did get a little bit frustrated. It's still part of the flow. And because you were willing to go through it and then insert that pause, and then you're still continuously sharing, you really got like this triple win that's going to last. Right. And so if you take that concept of, you know, going through the process and letting it sink in and sharing it, when you actually have the win, the feeling that you get, that's the part that if you could journal about, what does it feel like in your body? So that you actually know that, you know, that would be like self-reassurance.
Yeah.
In your own handwriting, that you've written it out, that you're aware, this is what this feels like. So again, not just the awareness, but the labeling. And if you experience it fully, then you can almost release the exact opposite, which is when things are, you know, you're continuing to need to learn the lesson because you just haven't figured out that part of it. So, and again, neither good nor bad. It is what it is. everything's going to be okay, the journaling really reinforces the acknowledgement of that feeling. So what did that feel like for you when like, oh my goodness, this is the outcome? And what was the time spent, just so that people get an understanding of it? Doesn't it could happen instantaneously, it could also stretch out over how long?
Right. So I think I had the first inclination probably in, what is this, April? So like March, I think I was like, yeah, I want to go visit this particular person for their birthday in summertime. Right. And, mom, I love you. I know it's, yeah, you don't even listen to podcasts. Nobody in my family is going to listen to this. So it's fine. So hi, mom, happy birthday. Anyway. So, and I told my sister, and then I was like, but something just, it just felt like something was in the way. Like there was something there, and I would continually, and I knew that it's something that I wanted to do because I continually kept bringing it up and like saying like, hey, yeah, I'm thinking about this and talking to her about it. Like, this is what I want. This is what I want. And it felt good, but it didn't feel right. It's kind of like, you know, when you're cooking an egg, or like when you're cooking something, you're like, yeah, this is feeling good. It's coming together, but it's not 100% yet. And then, so I was talking to her and I was like, oh, I just wish that I didn't have to, cause we live in Niagara Falls. So in order for me to get up to Toronto, last time I flew out, I had to like drive up to Toronto, park my car with a friend, take an Uber to the airport. It just felt like too many steps. And I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to do that. I want it to be easy. I want to just like go to Hamilton Airport or something like that. And she's like, well, why don't you? And I was like, well, why don't I? And then I looked it up and the price was like pretty much the same as the Toronto airport. I was like, look at God, because normally it's more expensive. And then there was like a layer of relief, like, or I guess a layer of resistance that was like shaved off. So it's like, okay, yeah, this is the next step. Okay, cool. Still didn't feel right yet, right? So I found the flights. It worked out with my sister to be able to pick me up and drop me off, like, so I can leave my car at home, which is ideally what I want. A layer of it was taken off. And then finally, like when I went to go and like, I'm like, okay, I have the price, I have the date, and I have the flight, like everything looks good. There's still something there. And then in my head, logically, I'm all like, what is it? But I just knew in my head, I'm like, it's just not time yet. It's not time yet. And I had to lean into trust and not let my logical brain or scarcity override that and say like, this doesn't make sense. And I think that it really comes down to noticing when your brain is like, okay, well, this doesn't make sense, but your gut and your heart is just all like, it's just not time yet. And I had no energy on it, because I was like, I know that everything's working out for me. And just like what you said, it's that practice of like everything is happening, whether it's on your timing or on like the universe's timing, like things are falling into place for you. And that's actually been one of my affirmations as of late, that like my ancestors are working on this gorgeous family business of mine, and that things are working behind the scenes. People are like putting things into place, et cetera, et cetera. And in letting this manifestation come to fruition on the timeline that it chose to come to fruition, it really came down to the fact that I had to not only trust, I had to listen to myself, but then also continually like believe that it could work out for me. So how this ended up going is that I went to buy the ticket. The Google flight thing was like, oh, it changed. It didn't alert me that the price changed, even though it always alerts me. And then I was like, nope, I'm not going to buy it for three times the price, but it's okay. I mean, I still got a lot of time. Things are going to work out. And then, so I ended up connecting with an old friend, and then they ended up having flight benefits. And then this is how this all happened. However, if I had not been willing to wait, if I had not been willing to listen to myself, then it wouldn't have worked out the way that it worked out. And one thing that I will also say is that you did an amazing job in regards to talking about the journaling aspect, because I'm very clear about creating evidence-based stuff, like creating evidence that this is what this feels like, that this is, that you can have that. And so you just don't forget it. And so in writing it down and just steeping in the feeling of like it happening for you is super important. So I think I shared with you personally, I've noticed as of late a very clear theme that in my life, I've really enjoyed overcoming or accomplishing over success. And so when things happen for me, I'm just like, okay, cool, on to the next thing, versus, you know, like that sort of struggle situation. And therefore, like, I can either continue to reinforce that by struggling for everything or allowing good things to happen for me and really focusing intently on them, recognizing them, feeling joyous in them, and just like being excited about them. Like today, this lady just, he transferred me some extra money. And I was like, I don't know you, stranger, but thank you for this extra $70. Like, thug life, you know? I was just like, oh, look at that. Thank you, universe. Thank you for allowing this to like happen for me, and really steeping in the feeling of what success can look like when it's easy, when it's playful, when it's flow, and when it's fun.
I love it. The law of receptivity for stratospheric success, yes, is definitely something that I've had to align with intuition.
I'm receptive, baby.
Yeah, yeah. And again, speaking to flow, right? It's the breathing in, breathing out. A couple of highlights I just want to recap with you is like asking for what you want. So again, that massive evidence of saying, this is what I want, this is when I documented it, and this is a story to how to get there. It really also reinforces the calming nature and the patience energy when you want it or you think you need it right now, and the reality isn't. However, I do know sometimes being nudged or taking the next step creates the energy to get you to the next step. So again, everything is still working out for your favor. Things still working out for your benefit. And the willingness to continuously label and experience, it's quite beautiful. And this is just the beginning, right? Like you get to really play with it, and then more stuff happens. So one other thing is, you said my ancestors are stepping in to support creating family businesses.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. Connect that with intuition and intuition building, and how that is supporting you now.
A lot of the learning opportunities that I've made for myself,
yeah,
was because I felt like as a solopreneur, that I wasn't able to do everything by myself. And then I felt like a lot of pressure on myself to, I'm not going to cry. I felt a lot of pressure on myself to do things right, or like to have to do things right because I'm the only one that's doing it. And then like, there's this definitely level of paralysis, especially if you're building a business by yourself versus having a co-founder. I always felt like, you know, I would have loved to have like a solid co-founder that I could bounce ideas off of, that we were both dedicated to the mission. You know, like that we had like extra amount of resources to allocate towards a project, et cetera, et cetera. And I found that a lot of times when I was making decisions, that I was doing it because I had to, because if I didn't, or I thought that I had to, because if I didn't, then something bad was going to happen. But like, nobody else is here supporting me. And so with one of the things that I've been doing is really just saying, you know what, that's not true. And that I'm engaging not only like the physical resources that I have here and asking for support from, you know, new, like my VA or like people that I'm hiring as contractors, but then also understanding that like energetically that I'm choosing to receive support from all areas of my life, which includes asking my ancestors to come in and support me in building a family business and letting this be a family business, letting it be an empire that is handed down for generations to generations to generations, like a personal growth, like staple in the lives and the hearts of other people, so that like I can continue and we can continue to create impact in the world. And in doing so, it actually created a lot of space and a lot of levity in my life, because I'm like, okay, what is my to-do list today? Cool. I'm going to focus on this, and I'm going to delegate these things to other people, or like, or even like my ancestors and stuff. I'm going to delegate these things, but I'm also very clear that I have somebody that's out there that's the head of marketing that's working on things behind the scenes for me. I have somebody that's, you know, out here doing branding or out here doing sales that's working things out for me. And then that's how I've been able to just randomly get people in my email saying like, hey, can we buy like 50 units of this? Or hey, can we buy 1,000 units of this? And I'm like, okay, yes. You know,
yes.
And letting it be easy. And whether it's that they're just like popping up in people's heads and being like, oh, you should check out Cheryl from Please Notes, whatever it is, I'm cool. Handle your business. Y'all are doing a great job. Y'all are going to get a raise. So just letting it be fun. And then therefore, because I've taken this weight off of myself, then I'm able to hear myself better instead of attempting to cut through levels of confusion and frustration and lack and limitation.
Yeah. I love that. Not necessarily on the intuitive train. There's a, you know, the saying, we stand on the shoulders of many.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is extremely humbling, because is it intuition? Is it like a friend speaking in your ear or whatever it is? And I want to say thanks for sharing that, because that was part of a surprise for intuition.
Surprise,
yeah. Always full of them. So I will share with you what came up for me. I would love to do a segment on solopreneur stories. Like things we tell ourselves or things solopreneurs tell themselves that are limiting beliefs that are adding to the weight or obstacle rung for them stepping up to the next level. Like, what are some of the things that you believe or are telling yourself or stories that, like, you know, you have to do it on your own. It has to be perfect. So if there are any solopreneurs out there that want to be a guest and that are mindful and have been, you know, maybe 3 or so years in, send us a DM or email us and let us know. We'd love to have you on.
Yeah. I think that we should even do an episode of like the top 10. I'm going to perhaps throw it out on Instagram. Like, what are the top misbeliefs that you had about starting your business? And yeah. And then we can make a delicious show about that. I think
yeah.
That'd be really great.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. This was a great episode on intuition and building intuition or building intuitive consciousness and using this mindfulness to navigate your next best step in your personal life, if it's going to help you build your business, or in your business, which is naturally going to help your personal life. So thank you, Cheryl, for this lovely topic today.
Thank you for like having this conversation, like creating this platform so we can have like so many delicious yeah. conversations.
No, I really do enjoy them. Cool. That's a wrap for me.
Awesome. Thanks. So with that, I guess let's make sure that we are continuing our mindfulness practices. And whether or not you journal, you meditate, you go to yoga, all of that sort of stuff, like understanding that when you do your inside work, then it shows in your outside world. As Lisa shows up with my gorgeous inclusion notebook, this is actually super delicious for starting to change your perception in regards to life and equality and connection with others. So with that, my name is Cheryl Sutherland, and I'm not plugging my products, but Lisa Michaela is on the video. Of course, we have Lisa. Say goodbye to the people. Say goodbye.
Thanks for joining us today. Bye.
Bye. Have a great one.